Dario's American Stage family features instrument and patch cables with patented geotip technology, XLR cables with crimped connections, and kill switch cables that prevent onstage noise, giving you the strongest connection available.
John Bolger in Nashville, Tennessee at the historic Ryman Auditorium, and I'm with the tallest man on earth, Kristen Mattson. Kristen, man, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Hey, let's start with this very cool guitar you got. What is the story on that thing?
Well, the story on this thing, it just kind of came to me. No, I went to Retrofret in Brooklyn, where I live, and this guy who's my guitar tech named him Little Guy. It just looked at me with a gold color, and I started to play it. And yeah, it's definitely my favorite guitar because it's just such a little weirdo.
Yeah, what is it exactly?
It's a Harmony, what's it called? Harmony Stratotone.
Oh, wow.
H44 or something, I don't
know. Cool, yeah.
One of those mail order guitars, I think. And it's amazing because there's just a body and a neck.
Wow.
It's the same piece of wood, so it's just like, for being so small, it's really resonant. And if you see the neck, it's like a baseball bat.
They literally just carved this out of one chunk of wood.
Yeah, this is like a classical guitar. That's how.
Yeah.
But it just like, it just lives. And then it has this pickup that I have no idea how it can be so hot. It's their single coil. Yeah. It's just super hot. And you know, you see this, it just, and it just has its own little life. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Do you have any idea what year it is?
No, I don't know, but I think it's like 50s or something.
Well, if anybody in the comments recognizes that, please, you know, use your geekdom, share it with us. That's great. And do you have any intonation issues with that just straight bridge like that, or?
Always. I am an intonation issue. I mean, I play in so many different tunings, it's never right.
Yeah. Well, sounds big. Okay. Yeah. Well, good. That is cool. Well, let's look at what's next.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
See, now that's a good tech. Ready.
I mean, Anna is the best tech in the world.
Hey, Anna,
but don't steal her. I mean, yeah, she's super good, but she's a horrible person. She steals things.
Yeah.
No, she's the best person ever.
Sure.
Yeah. And she actually, this is a very dear and special guitar to me. It's a Telecaster style guitar built by my Croatian friend Kresimir.
Really?
That I met last summer. I met him at a Paul Simon concert in Amsterdam.
Really?
And he came up to me and we just met in the lobby, and he had seen me play in Zagreb. And he was saying, so we just started chat, and then he said he built some guitars at home, and he's gonna try to start a brand later, make some guitars, and he wanted to build one for me, and it's called Mark because of Mark in Paul Simon's band. And he built me one with this neck and a butterscotch body and with a PAF pickup. And then I met him on tour a couple months ago, and he built me another one with this Olympic white body. And I have two setups. I have a setup in Europe with guitars, and a set like with most things. So I can't really fly, because flying with them back and forth, little guy flies back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I only had room to bring one more guitar, and I wanted to bring both, but I really like this. Right now, this neck is perfect. So I just swapped the necks on them. Or Anna did.
Oh, okay.
Anna, she's... So he built a neck because this is, it's really thick and it has a really sharp V.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Totally.
And then the body is... what do you call it? It's hollow.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It's chambered, but no F-holes. Hmm. So it's just like, it's really... It's really, like, acoustic.
Great.
Right. And the fat neck is just that I run around so much on stage. So I'm both playing and like holding on to something. If it gets too thin, I have to stand still. So now I can just like, I need a baseball bat.
Yeah. That's a great telly. Just a, yeah, classic.
Yeah, and he does something with a, I'm just not gonna guy guess, but there's some people in the comments, you know, you do something with a, it just, the tone control becomes more musical because you put something in there. I used to know this, but it's just perfect. I just roll off the high end a little and I just play this and it's a beast.
Okay, so yeah. Cool luthier from Croatia. If you're watching this,
Trisimir,
put in the comments what
please.
That weird tone thing does.
I'm sorry, brother. I just, it's a crazy day. I'm releasing a record today.
It's, it's a great shout out. It'll be fine. Let's look at the next one. Mm.
You want another? Let's do the Gibson. And this is just like a brand new Gibson, 2019 dot.
Oh, really? Wow, great.
Yeah, because I played a 330 for a long time,
sure.
But it didn't really work out live with the P90 pickups because like I need the full range. It was like too MIDI, so I started to play. I also have a black, a little older 335, but I bought this just brand and just plays amazingly straight away.
Well, 2019 Gibsons are just fabulous.
Yeah,
I mean they really nailed them, man.
So there's I don't know what they did because they are way better.
Yeah. I think the whole overhaul in that company, they've really dialed in. So that's great.
Yeah. No, I never bought that robot guitar. No.
Yeah. Well, so we got the classic, brand new, old school 335.
And that is just because I have so much stuff and junk and. You know, I drag it on tour and like, please, Anna, can you fix this? And like, sorry, Dan, my friend, house, like this buzzes and hums. So it's just like, it's really nice. Just buy something new that just works perfectly.
Right, right. Okay, very cool. Let's look at another one.
Yeah, and I just want to show all these straps I have.
Yeah, I love them.
My friend Linny that I met over 10 years ago, she made me the first strap and then she's just been making straps for me.
Are those magpies?
Yes, they're Eurasian magpies back in Sweden. I live in New York, but I still have a place in Sweden, and we have so many magpies.
I love magpies.
I even have one tattooed on my back.
It's really? That's great.
Yeah.
I'm from Montana, a lot of magpies in Montana.
Like, oh, yeah?
Not many down here.
Montana is...
There we go. Cool.
Let's do this guy, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then this one that I was... Gretsch Fender was very kind to give me a couple of years back. Mostly because on the last album, Dark Bird is Home, I played a lot of, I played guitar and then I overdubbed with Nashville strung guitars.
Oh yeah, sure.
And it's like, how do I do this live? So I need to start to play 12 string electric. And I mean, it's a country gentleman 12 string, like it's just a badass.
Yeah, totally.
And
I love the painted on F holes. That's so great.
Yeah, and then you like, you finger pick it. It just like becomes this weird harp.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Plug this.
Oh yeah.
Just plug that bad boy in.
Yeah.
Plug
it in. That's pretty great. Yeah. Turn that guy off because it's.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's, and I have one in a blonde one that I have in Europe, and it's like slightly different. So they're like two brothers.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, this is actually a good segue. Why don't we grab something we can look at your pedals with, like maybe one more electric. I know you've got. So he travels with a couple big boats, but we're a little bit of a time constraint, so we can't make it through all. So
yeah.
What's going to be a good demo guitar to get through these?
Revelation Blues.
There we go. Perfect.
So I have two of these. They're just like 2013 Fenders that Fender so kindly gave me. But then I just started to mess them up, changed the pick guard, and I put a little mini humbucker in here. Just Seymour Duncan.
Cool.
Just because I had it laying around. And
sure.
I switched out the controls here, so Yeah, it just, this one just worked straight out, like, not straight out of the box because I changed a lot of things, but just like the neck is great.
Yeah, and felt right.
It's sweet, yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about first your amps you're using. These are just two stock, are they Blues Juniors?
Yeah, cool, huh?
The Blues Junior 4.
Even the plastic is still here because I just got the 4s over here.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I've toured for 11 years now, and I've gone through every Fender and some vintage amps, and I had a handmade Olsson amp from Sweden and a Vox AC30, and I just got so tired. Like, everything is broke after a while. And really hard to replace, and it was just, I was, like, nervous all the time. I had, like, when I was younger and I drove, like, shitty cars, and they always broke down, and it cost a lot of money, and it's like, so I got this, like, became a car hypochondriac. I just listened all the time. I started to do that with amps, like, no, it's gonna die tonight. So, and I had a Fender Blues Junior at home, and just like, and I never gave it too much, any attention, but it sounds great.
Yeah.
So I just like, why don't I get this, start to play this, because you can find one anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And you can backline it anywhere.
Yeah. And I play, I mean, my sound is so weird and lo-fi anyway, so just like, and I play in stereo, so it's, you know, it's, they're great.
Yeah.
I love them.
That's easy. So yeah, right out of the box.
Yeah.
Industrial strength. That's great. Yeah. Well, then let's get to your more complex, this is where it gets a little more complicated.
Yeah,
with this pedal board.
But it's actually not that complicated. It's just like, playing solo, I need a lot of tails, you know, to create some atmosphere. That's why there's just so many, there's actually 3 reverbs running at the same time.
And I saw, and you're not using the verb on the amps at all.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, let's start kind of where you run in. Is that right over there?
So I run in through this Hum debugger first.
Okay.
Because I've, you know, playing a lot of old theaters.
Sure.
It's just like a lot of buzzing. So we just found that as well. And I like it. It does, I can't use it at home in my apartment when I record, which would be great. But it kind of creates this like short delay, or this kind of like comb filter kind of vibe.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So but like live, that doesn't matter because there's just so much. So it goes through that, and it just, I mean, I see if.
Do you leave that on all the time?
Yeah, it's just on all the time.
Okay.
In the normal position.
Okay.
It's not, and then.
Then what's next?
Yeah, this is just a switch for the electric and electronic acoustics. I can use the same cable.
Sure.
And I have a Korg tuner that I don't use that much because Hannah is so great at tuning guitars. I barely know how to tune a guitar anymore. And I sit at home and try So the acoustic goes into this little Pete Cornish DI, which is pretty great. I don't know that much about DIs, but my front house loves it.
Perfect.
It does. Yeah. It has some kind of massive transformer in there.
That is a massive DI.
Yeah, but it's lovely. And I have one here and I have one over in Europe. And yeah, I've been using it for maybe 6 years now.
Fabulous.
And it looks badass.
It does look badass.
It looks like you're like a fuse box or something, yeah. So then just like the acoustic goes out to his world and then you just,
He takes it from there.
Yeah.
That's his concern.
Yes.
Okay, good.
With the electric, I put some more trouble in the way for him. So it goes into this, this combo pedal with a GHS Morning Glory.
Okay.
And a Keeley compressor in the same pedal.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Rarely use the Morning Glory anymore because just for the music I play.
Sure.
But I love the compressor in this.
Yeah, that's great. So is this a collaboration between those two companies?
I don't know. I just bought it at the store.
Yeah, that's great.
But it looks like it because both their logos are here. So compressor always running helps with the finger picking a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, actually before that, it goes into a POG.
Oh yeah.
That put a sub octave that's just always on.
Okay.
Because since I am by myself, I can do more a full range sound on my electric, but like it's weird. It works like magic because it gets a firmer low end, and then just turning up the low end on that.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of transparent because your sound is big, but it's hard to identify where that's coming from.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So that is a great one. And then it goes into the Chase Bliss tonal recall, which I love that thing so much and can do so many crazy things. I use it a lot at home.
Give us an example of something crazy on it.
It's deep. It has all these dip switches in the back, so you can just like, but it has all the, it can ramp. Can I remember how
they do put a, there's a lot of stuff going on in Chase Bus. Oh yeah.
But then how do you do, I forgot how you do it, but you get it to ramp up with this. You can have it ramp in and, I am sorry, I can't demo this pedal because brain is kind of breaking now.
No, that is crazy. That's a good crazy example.
But I just use it for one song right now where I just need, and I use it on the first song to just grow away because I don't play with a click at all. But usually when I come out on stage, I have so much adrenaline. So I just run out, and in the past, I play the first song in double speed, way too fast. So I figured out if I put a sync delay on myself, then I can't.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So I did that.
Yeah, that's a great way to establish your BPM.
Yeah, it's not the sexiest way to use a delay, but it works.
Yeah, that's a very utilitarian way of doing it. Cool.
And then it goes into this monster of a pedal that I absolutely love.
Yeah, what is that big weirdo?
Industrial Electric RM19. And I was talking with my friend Tim Showalter, the place in the band Strand of Oaks, who just released an amazing album. We're friends since we toured a lot together in 2012, and we have these long phone calls about life and stuff. And then he had just recorded an album with the My Morning Jacket guys.
Yeah.
And he had found them using that pedal a lot. And just him talking about it on the phone, I was on my computer and I just ordered it from the website. Hadn't even seen a demo of it, because I know if Tim loves it, it's great. And it's just it's a reverb fuzz. So it has, but these are so hard to figure out what does what.
Right.
Yeah. But to me, it sounds like my Roland Space Echo that I have in my studio in Sweden that's just in really bad shape. Because just turning this on, it has a big hiss, and it's just... It sounds like a really bad tape echo.
Yeah,
and it just it's kind of hard to control. It just swells in a, it kind of plays you in a bit.
That's cool.
And so yes, and I brought it on tour, and I just started to, practice with it on sound checks, and then maybe after 8 shows, then I figured out what I could use it for, and now I just want to use it on everything.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's lovely. And then it goes into the Strymon Deco that I just barely does anything right now, but sometimes I use it for a little more saturation. I like the tape. I don't use the flanger side of it much, but it's cool. I use it a lot at home and with synthesizers. It's great. It goes into the Flint. The Strymon Flint, where the tremolo is always on.
Wow.
But you can barely hear it. It's on the slowest speed and low intensity because I love lo-fi, I love tape recorders.
Sure.
So to just get that slight volume modulation in there.
Yeah, a little wobble.
Yep. And then the 80s reverb in this is amazing. So I just have a smidge of that. And then it goes into the Strymon or Capistan that I absolutely love, been using it for years, and that is also always on. Let's turn these guys off so you can actually hear it.
Oh yeah.
But that is always on to create just a tail. And then for this tour, I just couldn't decide if I wanted to play the Blue Sky or the Avalanche Run. I played Strymon Blue Sky for a long time. And I overused the shimmer for some tours. Yeah. It was always on. And then I just wanted to get away from that. So I tried the Avalanche Run, and I think the reverb sounds amazing in that one. And so I had Anne, I just put both of them on there, and now so I just have a touch of blue sky in the end. Both of these are stereo, which helps because I have two amps that are in stereo, and just to have that, you know, it creates a better image, and it's also more fun for me because it's when I'm here, it's, you know, it's stereo and more fun.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's.
And then the last in the chain is this weirdo.
Yeah, it's actually first in the chain.
Oh, okay.
But it's over there because that's where I use it.
For ease of use, yeah.
See here, I'm going to turn some stuff.
I know that Premier looked at these guys at NAMM. What is this?
Yeah, I saw a picture of it and like, that looks a little gimmicky.
Yeah.
But then I tried it and just, to me, it's so useful because I can, you know, I do swells with it, like intros. Stuff like that. But then I can also, just that it's not a switch.
Yeah.
That it's an actual pedal and you can set it so it, you know, it does things when you just, that means because I run around a lot, then I can run by it and just step on it like that.
Just one hit and
yeah,
walk
and
away.
It will be like a wash that helps. So it's so musical. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I love that it's a sustain pedal and it looks like a piano sustain pedal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great and it's really helpful for me. It's like I said, I need a lot of atmospheric stuff because I can't play with loop pedals at all. I've tried a couple of times and it's just like.
It's just not your thing.
No, some people can do it really well, but just like I kind of want the technology to be invisible in a way. And sometimes when I see that, like I think about like, oh, that's okay. It's looped, and it just like it kind of destroys the magic a little.
Yeah.
Some people are geniuses, and they make it. But I was not a genius. I just like it felt like I was just standing. And so that pedal just up the game for me.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, great electric rig. Let's talk about a couple of your acoustics. You're 12 and you're 6.
Yeah. Anna, would you like to bring me a guitar? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's a 12.
Yeah. Yeah, so here's my Epiphone. It's called Serenader. Serenade.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It says in here, but I don't have one of these feedback busters. In all my acoustics, I play LR Bags M1.
Yeah, great pickup.
Yeah, I've been using it for, I don't know, many years because I can't really stand the piezo sound.
Sure, and I think Anna said those are the non-active ones. Is that right? Passive.
They're passive. Okay. Yeah, they're passive because they apparently sound best in the PA. And yes, it doesn't sound super acoustic, but playing in a big PA and a acoustic guitar doesn't sound like an acoustic guitar anymore. Sure. But to me, it gets the energy of it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought they sounded fabulous. And you do you know what year this is?
I don't exactly. I know it's 60s. I know it's 60s. It looks like a hippie's guitar, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
But it's a really thick neck and. I always love coming back to this. I really like the one I have in Europe as well, where I play a brand new Taylor 12 string, but it's just like a total different thing. That one is just like easy to play, and it just sings.
It's in tune.
This one you kind of have to fight a little, but it, not fight, you just wrestle it in a loving way, and then what comes back is pretty lovely, and it's just like a smaller body and on a 12 string, so it just like. And I have a smaller body, so it just becomes to scale.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. That's a beautiful guitar.
And then all the, you know, I don't know if you can see it in the camera, but like how all the lacquer, the cracks, how that.
Yeah, all that weather checking. Yeah. It's fabulous.
No, it's great. No, and we had to put in these feedback busters and everything.
Yeah, and I see how you've cut them to fit. That's a clever idea.
Yeah. Anna.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
Yeah, and that's just set it and forget it. You're not jacking the volume. Once you've got it on, you just plug it in and go.
You just plug it in and go. And this one I bought recently, actually. That's why I can't remember exactly what year it is. It's the 60s Martin D18 that.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
It's just, I don't know. And I played again. It's so, I used to live like 2 blocks away from Retro Fret in Brooklyn. And I went there and they're so nice. There's nice people that let you play everything. So I just have gone there and I bought a guitar just because I love them.
Yeah.
And then they said they were moving. And I was like, oh, crap, you're moving. I'm moving too. I was moving to another part in Brooklyn. And it turned out they moved, so they're 3 blocks away now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I went there because I was looking, I was actually, while I was recording my new album, it's just like, I don't have a good dreadnought here. So I played a bunch of them, and this one was just, it was not the most expensive one. It just, someone, it feels like someone, English is my second language. Someone has played this in the exact right way, so it just set
in a
perfect resonance, and it's light, and it just...
D18s are so light.
And it's super even, like from the high to the low, and it's... Yeah, I love this guitar a lot.
Yeah, what a beautiful
guitar. And I bought it and I recorded it on my album the same day, and then Anna just put one of these puppies in, and now I play it live.
So, but that will remain in America when you go to Europe, or is that going to be one of those?
Yeah, I try. Yeah. I'm going to try to keep it. Because I don't know. There's usually like three guitars that.
Sure.
So we'll see. Yeah. But this might have. Yeah, it might have to come with me. Now that you say it, John. Yes, this is coming to Europe. Great idea. Anna, can you fly with this as well?
That's your carry-on. Anna, that's your one carry-on.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hey, well, man, I can't thank you enough for the interview. Congrats on all your success. And
thank you so much, John. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Okay. Till next time.